Tom McDermott is a local piano player known for his incredible stylistic range, from ragtime to Brazilian choro to New Orleans funk and blues. Later this year, McDermott will be releasing a compilation entitled Bambula, which will cull tracks from throughout his lengthy catalog. The album is being curated and produced by Van Dyke Parks, a composer and producer known for collaborating with Brian Wilson on the Beach Boys' Smile project. I asked Tom how he and Parks came to work together.
I have a friend from high school named Ken Kwapis. Ken went on to become a movie and TV director in Hollywood, and he hired Van Dyke for some project and became good friends with him. And he started giving Van Dyke copies of my CDs, and then along the way I took over and I would mail out his CD whenever it came out if I thought he'd be interested. And two or three years ago, maybe, I guess it was 2 years ago, I put out a CD with Evan Christopher called Almost Native, sent it to Van Dyke, and he wrote back and said, I want to do a compilation of your music. So that's how it happened.
What do you think got him interested in your music? What do you think is the affinity that he has for your work?
The key, I've told people, is that we're both Gottschalk nuts, Louis Moreau Gottschalk, and we're two of the few people who have recorded Gottschalks, or at least have taken it and rearranged Gottschalk. I've recorded about five Gottschalks, and he's recorded, I don't know, three or four, I think.
For people who don't know who Louis Moreau Gottschalk was, you mind explaining?
Gottschalk was born in New Orleans in 1829 and died in Rio in 1869. He was the first composer to combine European harmony and forms and structures with the African beats, which he heard in New Orleans growing up, because he lived right near Congo Square. But I guess anywhere he lived in the city, you would hear it. And he wrote about a couple hundred pieces, and I'd say about an hour's worth of immortal music. He wrote a symphony that gets played every once in a while, and some really great piano pieces that were really just 40 years ahead of their time. There was nothing like it until ragtime started in the 1890s. So, not terribly well known in New Orleans, which is a shame. But there are fanatics out there like Van Dyke and I.
So how did Van Dyke pitch this idea to you? How did he present it to you?
He just said he wanted to, he knew enough of my music that he wanted to produce an album of tracks that I'd already recorded. You know, and I sent everything I had, and he picked a lot of, he stayed away from the blues stuff and the James Booker and the straight New Orleans jazz and any of that, and focused on, he took seven tracks from my Brazil album. And he took three or four more from the duet album I did with Evan, and focused on the choros I've written and the musettes I've written and just piano solos like a ragtime waltz I wrote. And as I said, stayed away from blues and Booker. It's not a very New Orleansy album that way, but it's a very pretty album, and that's fine with me, you know.
Would the record have looked a lot different if you'd been picking out the tracks yourself?
I would have had maybe one half to two thirds of what he put in there. I would have put in some of my synth stuff I've done, which is very outmoded sounding, but I still like it.
What album were those on?
From an album called Louisiana Anthology. And there's a piece called Klezmer Nut House that's been played a lot on NPR that I would have liked to have had on there. But I didn't argue, you know, because his company is putting up all the money, and they remastered it and did. I didn't have to put up a dime, of course. So in this day and age where people really don't buy CDs, too much anymore. What I and I think Van Dyck are hoping for is that his friends who use music for movies and TV will hear this and pick a track. Because I'm told over and over that my music has a cinematic quality to it, at least some of it. Not all of it, but some of it does. That's my hope. You know, I've seen the power of TV placement, mailbox money, as they call it, through my work with Tremé, where I did very well.
Your involvement with Tremé, has that led to any other licensing for film or television or media yet?
No, not yet. Who knows if it will, but it was a great experience. I made more than a year's worth of salary from the usage of my music, just from that, not counting the appearances I made, which actually were not. If you have a piece of music used in the show and you own all the rights, you're going to make about, I don't know, 10 times more than if you just are on screen playing music. So you either get the glory of being on screen, or you get your music played anonymously sometimes. That was often the case. I had a lot of little background hits. Or ideally, you get to be playing your own music, and that way you get the glory and the money. So,
can you tell me a little bit about Van Dyck's label, the one the record's coming out on?
Well, his label is called Banana Stand, and it was originally going to be out on his label. But he has decided to, I don't know if he's shutting it down or he's just not going to put out any more music on it. So it is actually going to be put out on a business partner's label, a guy's name Mike Minky, and it'll be on Minky Records. And it's a little odd because this is a guy who really specializes in punk rock and all sorts of odd stuff. So they've certainly never put out anything like my CD, but it's the first time for everything.
So is the packaging all done for the record? Do you guys have cover art and everything?
Yeah, it's all done. He got a painting by some French guy. It's a tidal wave swamping a piano or coming out of a piano. It's pretty cool. And he wrote the liner notes, which are very Van Dyckian. He has quite a way of writing and talking, very unique, very arcane, very Southern.
Did he have any liner note comments that particularly surprised you?
Well, he was embarrassingly overpraising it, but that's what you got to do, you know, when you're trying to sell something. But he has, you know, experience with New Orleans musicians. He arranged stuff on Alan Toussaint's Southern Nights. Allegedly, he got Booker out of jail at one point. And I'm sure he knows Dr. John, too, from their mutual lives in L.A. He's a real omnivore when it comes to music. I'm just looking at his Wikipedia entry and the list of people he works with in one paragraph. Phil Oakes, Tim Buckley, The Byrds, Loudon Wainwright, Rufus Wainwright, Harry Nilsson, Randy Newman, Bonnie Raitt, Judy Collins, Ry Cooder, Joanna Newsom, Lowell George and Inara George, Little Feet, Keith Moon, Frank Zappa, Ringo Starr, and most famously, Brian Wilson. He collaborated on the Smile album project. He's got some cred.
Yeah, I'll say. So you have one original song that's going on the compilation,
yeah,
right?
It's an accordion piece. I've written some musettes, and I had a guy who lived here for a while named Patrick Harrison, a.k.a. Patty Buttons, who moved down here to play with Panorama for a year. And he's a fantastic talent on accordion. I had him record three of my musettes for whatever use, and I'm glad to say it ended up on this album, one of them.
Well, Tom, thank you for coming to talk with me.
You're welcome, Zach.
And I hope we'll hear some more from you around the time of the release. It's September 24th, I think.
Yeah, well, I hope you enjoy the CD.
Thanks.
You're welcome.